Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
This is not Bob Siegel. This is Dana Siegel. We welcome you to the Bob Siegel Show. And you're probably wondering, why are you not hearing Bob's voice right now? Well, Bob has so graciously given this hour of airtime to a ministry that I work with. And it is a part of the Skyline Women's Ministry. And he's given tonight to us to have a chance to share with you just some, hopefully some things that will help you understand this topic more, be able to be compassionate with people that have this in their past. And if you are someone that has this in your past, then we want to assure you that there is a way for you to find healing and forgiveness for this choice. And that topic is abortion. I know there are those of you out there right now, just hearing that word is just so difficult and so painful. And I encourage you, please don't change the station. Don't turn it off. There's something really important you need to hear tonight. And I believe that if you hang in there with us, that you will find encouragement and you will find hope and you will find out about something really wonderful that we have for you. So please don't change the channel. Stay there with us. And those of you that maybe don't have an abortion in your past and you're thinking, oh, I don't need to listen to this. Well, the statistics in our country are that one in three women has had an abortion in the United States. That's one in three. So if you think you don't know somebody, I can guarantee you, you're wrong on that. And you do know several people that have had an abortion. They just may not have shared that with you. This is definitely a topic of secrecy, of keeping it so private. And it's that harboring the secret that just is so devastating for women and men that have participated in an abortion. And then it just continues to wear on them. So please stay with us tonight. I have some really wonderful special guests to introduce to you as the show goes on. I want to start with some updated information about abortion in our country. It has now been 45 years since Roe versus Wade was put in. That was January 22nd, 1973. And Pastor Reed Jolly from the Santa Barbara Community Church wrote an article just citing some more recent information. And so I just wanted to share some of that with you. He is the pastor at my daughter's church in Santa Barbara, and he just wrote such insightful information. So he shared several things, but some of the things he shared was that there is some good news in our country for unborn children. First good piece of news is that the abortion rate is at its lowest since 1973 when Roe v. Wade came in. In 2017, we performed fewer than 1 million abortions. Now, okay, great. It's less than 1973, but that's still a lot of abortions. So we're celebrating the fact that it's gone down, but we still have a long way to go. Our population in general continues to become more pro-life, which is a wonderful thing. And the majority of Americans do support abortion rights, but that majority is getting smaller. Most Americans want some kind of restriction on abortion. They want to make it impossible to have a late-term abortion, to have sex selection abortions, to abort a baby due to their possible health defects. These are things that most Americans say are not okay. Another good sign is that our younger people tend to be more pro-life than our parents and the older generations. In January, the Trump administration reinstated what is called the Mexico City policy, which means that USAID, that's money, may not be used to perform abortions internationally. Imagine that. We've been paying for international abortions. The U.S. also cut funding to the Orwellian Sound. That's a United Nations population fund that subsidized the forced abortions and forced sterilization in China. Imagine the United Nations participated in that. And for the first time, the President of the United States addressed the annual Washington, D.C. March for Life via a live video feed. That is the first time. The rest of the time, it's been a phone message or a text message sent, but he actually did it live from the Rose Garden. So thank you, President Trump, for stepping up. He is quoted in that address as saying, "Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as a foundation of our society." So there are some of the good news. There is also some not good news. I'm only going to share a little bit of that because it can get overwhelming. While surgical abortions are at their lowest point since 1973, chemical abortions are skyrocketing. That means that over half of all the abortions that are accomplished now are done through the mother taking a series of pills that end the pregnancy. Last spring in Oregon, the Reproductive Health Equity Act was passed, ensuring that Oregonians are able to procure abortions for free. In June, Delaware passed a bill making abortions legal through all 9 months of pregnancy. So there is still a long way to go with regards to this topic. Tonight, we are going to be talking about just how choosing an abortion impacts a woman and how we can really find God's forgiveness and healing from that. So many women struggle with the fact that they chose abortion and then they try to bury it and forget about it and try to move on. And what we know now about abortion is that it does cause other things. A woman has other significant repercussions when they choose abortion. Some of them, just to highlight them, and this comes from the Healing the Hurt book by Terry and Paul Reiser. These are some of the signs of stress, and this isn't all of them, but these are examples. Many women feel guilty from going against what their own belief system was and what they believed was right. Self-destructive behaviors can emerge, such as eating disorders, alcohol or substance abuse, abusive relationships, promiscuity. They can re-experience events related to the abortion, such as nightmares or memories, anxiety that leads to headaches, dizziness, all kinds of physical ailments, psychological numbing. You just are not going to allow yourself to think about this, and so you just, your emotions go underground, and that hampers your ability to have stable, emotional, intimate relationships. Depression, which can manifest in many different ways, including interfering with sleep or appetite or normal pleasures in life. Preoccupation with becoming pregnant again can be a concern and a problem for women that have chosen abortion. Anxiety over fertility and childbearing issues. Trouble bonding with your other children, just trying to make that okay. And sometimes reactions to the anniversary dates of when the woman had their abortion. These are just some of the things cited in this booklet about some of the things that can happen to a woman. And we do know statistically, it says that 85% of women do experience some kind of significant fallout from that. For me, I was a Christian when I chose to have an abortion, and I was in the church. I was a leader in the church, and I could not even imagine what the church community would do if I went public with that information. And so I chose abortion for fear of what the church would think of me, what people would think of me, what my parents would think of me. I also then developed an eating disorder. I became bulimic to the point of being very unhealthy. I participated in extreme exercising. I used to run miles every day. And now after my healing and looking back, I believe that running was trying to run away from the pain that I was experiencing from having chosen abortion. So there are just so many things a woman goes through when they choose abortion. And when they say to you, you know, it's a simple procedure, it'll be over, and then you can just go on with life. What they don't tell you is that it's just so hard for a woman to emotionally go on with life. There's so much that still pulls into that and still just tears at your ability to be able to do life well and to be able to be free to serve God. It definitely inhibits your relationship in that area. And because God brought healing to me through my husband, Bob Siegel, I just am so amazed that he was able to love me. And when I shared with him as we were dating that I had this in my past, I thought for sure there is no way Bob would continue to want to date me. And instead, he was so loving and tender and showed me the forgiveness of Christ through his reaction to me. And then went on to even marry me, which I just find so astounding that Bob was able to just love me unconditionally and then help me through a healing process. Through that, God has compelled me to help other women find that forgiveness and healing that God has. It is so freeing. I often describe my healing experience as one where I felt like physical chains were lifted off of me. A burden I had carried for more than 30 years wasn't there anymore. And that doesn't mean I don't have regret about my choice and I don't wonder about my baby, but I do not carry the guilt and the shame and the fear of being known like I did for so many years. And the fact that I'm even on the radio and doing this is so amazing. Out of this experience, God developed a weekend retreat for women who have experienced abortion to go away together. It's a private retreat where only women who have experienced abortions go. We go to the Pine Valley Bible Conference Center, which is just about 20 minutes out of El Cajon. It's a beautiful location. And we come together and we help women who have struggled with this, some for a few years, some for many years, and help them go through the process to heal and to just find God's forgiveness in this area. You feel like you're alone in this. It's such a choice of shame that you feel like no one will understand. And so you just carry it. And whenever it's Sanctity Sunday in school, I mean, in a church, or the pastor brought up abortion, I remember I'd have a physical reaction to that word. I couldn't even say that word for years and years and years. So those of you that are listening that you're having a physical reaction, know that there are many of us that understand that, and God can heal you from that. He can bring you back from that and just give you a new life full of joy. So stay with us, and we will be back to introduce my first guest to you.
is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and I am sitting in for the show tonight because Bob has graciously given us this hour to talk about a really important ministry for women that have experienced abortion. This next part of our show, I'm really excited to share with you. I have a letter that I want to read to you first. And this letter was written to our leadership team after last year's retreat. There are 7 women on the leadership team that God has so beautifully put together for this ministry. And these 7 women are the ones that put on this weekend, support the women that come up to attend, and just gently and lovingly help them walk through this process. And make the women feel safe and cared for as we go through this process. So here is a letter from one of the women that attended the retreat last year. To the leadership team, I am still reeling after learning this weekend just how crippling and all-consuming the consequences of abortion had been on my life. To acknowledge that my Christian walk had been grossly undermined, limited, even derailed completely for years breaks my heart. The magnitude of my denial over what had happened had been so pervasive, I don't believe that without this ministry, I could have heard God's urgent call to honesty and to the resultant healing for it. Thank you seems inadequate in the light of the great compassion you all showed me in so many different ways as you collectively ushered me to the very foot of the cross. That He, God, had been waiting for me with outstretched arms to accept me, to console me, I could never have imagined. I slept really well last night. This person wrote this the Monday after retreat. I slept really well last night. I was barely awake this morning when I realized I was whispering Jesus' name over and over out loud. It was the first time I had spoken His name with such familiarity and warmth, as if I were calling out to a close friend walking down the street. Just now, an old hymn came back to my mind, and it's playing in my heart with a new meaning. What a friend we have in Jesus and all our sins and griefs to bear. I get it. I finally get the absolute necessity of Jesus' sacrifice through the accommodating and profound grace of the Holy God. I will be praying that this critical ministry continues to grow, to touch countless more daughters of the King who are unaware of the bondage that their burden brings and that grief. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all for what you did for me at the retreat. My life is changed forever because I have been set free. I have been restored at last. I have truly been bestowed beauty for ashes. Gratefully, Mary. It is my sincere honor to introduce Mary to you. She was the attendee at our retreat last year, and she graciously agreed to come on the air with me and just share her experience, and I am so grateful for that. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you, Dana.
We're glad you're here. So after you hear the words of your letter again, what comes to your mind?
Well, first off, I cannot believe it's been a year, and so much has happened since then, but I have tears in my eyes right now because that letter I wrote with all my heart, trying to capture what had happened at the retreat, to remember this. Jesus, what he did for me, I had never truly understood. It was after the retreat or during the retreat that I really came into knowledge of what his sacrificial work was about. You know, my heart still hurts remembering how difficult it had been to get to that retreat.
Yeah, what were your fears in going?
I think that it was mostly that it would be a berating time to beat me into submission, you know, to really acknowledge what had happened. And, you know, I'm being a little dramatic here, but not too far from it, not too far from it.
I know you were really worried. You expressed that to me a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I was really terrified. I had come back to the church late in 2016. And so I at Skyline is my church, and I had been going through the website looking at different groups to join and so forth. And I learned about the retreat and the corresponding Bible study. And it was really strange is that I felt compelled to connect with you all. And when I did, and I heard about the retreat for the first time, it was kind of like a silent, no fuss, no drama, knowing in my spirit that I was going, which was so intensely bizarre because there was no way that I would leave my dog, for one thing, to go away, yes. You know, for a few days. I'd never done that in the 10 years he's been with me, you know, and I couldn't.
And your dog had special issues, too.
He
wasn't
did.
Like it. I mean, yeah. You're medically taking care of your dog, so
right.
That would be a big sacrifice to go away.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, I didn't think there was a possibility for that. My brother took care of the dog, as it turned out. And then there was a financial issue, but there was a scholarship offered. But at that moment, I knew I was to go. And it was, I know that was the Holy Spirit telling me, it's time. It's time that you know.
And when you were at the retreat, did you feel any berating, any
not at
condemnation?
All. Not at all.
Were you okay? Were you safe?
I think, you know, I went and I was shut down, basically, to try to protect myself, I think. And I wouldn't sing. I wouldn't, you know, really open up. And that was something that I laugh at now, you know, given how wonderful.
I do too. I remember how you were, yes.
But it was an amazing time. The seven women of this ministry, they were like, they're warrior women. They're battle scarred.
Yeah.
And their compassion was so immense. I think that was like the Holy Spirit was protecting that whole weekend. And
absolutely.
I felt that because so much happened. It was a matter of the word, God's word. Mm-hmm. About this issue, mainly his love and his amazing grace to call us to him so he could heal us.
Yeah.
And all the women were amazing. They really were. It was just, it could be a soft smile, a touch on the shoulder. But knowing that these women knew what I was going through,
yes,
it was obvious. It was obvious. I was among my people, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it allowed me, you know, to loosen up just a little bit at a time until it got in. And I knew I was there for a reason. So it was really pointless to keep fighting it.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable enough telling us a bit about your background and that would explain why you were so hesitant?
Sure. Yeah. I Basically, you know, I had a pretty tough childhood. There was a lot of abuse, emotional and sexual abuse in my home, and so it was a struggle to believe in the God that my mom believed in, and because of the lack of protection, and I just didn't know that God was there, but. What happened was that I became involved in drugs and alcohol to try to shut down, and it was hard because I had this entitled attitude because I knew I was a victim and I aligned with that mentality.
Oh, right.
And so because of that, I felt that I was entitled to do whatever I wanted. I had paid my dues as a way of thinking. You know, so I would do whatever I wanted. I became very self-sufficient. I used my head. I controlled everything. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. And I felt I could, you know. And
protecting yourself.
Right, yeah. And my first abortion was when I was 18 years old. And it was hard because somewhere deep inside of me, although I believed the lie that's put out there, that this is just a medical procedure and this is not a child.
Right.
This is not your child. This mm-hmm. is a medical procedure. To me, it was an inconvenience. I'm running my life. It would get in the way of everything. So I was going to carry on with what I had planned to do. And that was a lie that I hung on to. But somewhere deep inside, I knew God builds us to know his truth deep inside. Whether you are with him or not, you just know. And so when that I went through with that, I think that is when my drug abuse got very serious. I started using the needle, and it was years and years and of abusive relationships, so forth. And when God called me, it was a miraculous healing, and I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I walked with him for several years. But as the church started talking about the abortion issue, I knew I was forgiven. I knew I was mm-hmm. forgiven.
We know in our head.
Yes, mm-hmm. but it was not in my heart.
Right.
It was That's not in my heart.
Part. Yeah.
I could not feel the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And I've heard before, and I really kind of stick to this, is like, if you don't feel something, you cannot heal from it. It's not real. You mm-hmm. have to make it real. And so as abortion issues were discussed in the church, I started shutting down, even though I was so on fire for God in the beginning. You know, I started shutting down, and I eventually left the church, which is really hard for me to believe, but it was little by little bit. And then I started having attitudes of tolerance for, well, you know, I'm angry at the church. They're always talking about, you know, this abortion. Well, why don't you help the women who are pregnant instead of just berating Right. the ones who have had abortion, but and eventually I had left the church completely. Yes. And so once in love with Jesus, I walked away from the church, and almost 30 years, I disappeared from God. And I was hungry for God, so I started looking for God in other, not other churches, but in religions that were false. They were counterfeit. And I tried to seek God, and it just started with like something like Unity Church, and then I get further and further from the truth. And I was very much involved in religious science, and ultimately I ended up in a spiritualist church studying to be a medium, talking to demons, basically, is what it ends up being.
Right. You went a long way off the trail, didn't you?
Yeah.
And but God brought you back.
Excellent. Yeah. He did in a big way.
Yes. And that, and we're so privileged to have gotten to watch that. We watch Mary now, and that leads us right into the break we want to do with At the Foot of the Cross. I know that you will remember this song from Retreat. Mm-hmm. And that this song is so precious to us as women because it talks about taking our ashes and those dark places of our lives and giving them to Jesus. And he exchanges that for beauty, and he gives us he takes the dead things in our lives and gives us something that's alive and well, the transformation Mary's talking about. And we can wear our forgiveness like a crown, and we can put every burden down at the cross. So this is At the Foot of the Cross by Catherine Scott.
the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet. You have shown me your love through the judgment you received, and you've won my.
Us. That is one of our theme songs for the weekend retreat. And it reassures us that we are God's daughters, that we belong to Him, that we can wear our crowns proudly, and that He will exchange our bad choices for something that He can make good out of. And the fact that we have that opportunity to lay all of our burdens, our guilts, our shame can be laid at the foot of the cross where Jesus died for our sins and died for all of the things that we chose to do. It gets overwhelming. And that song is just such an important song to us on the weekend retreat. I'm so grateful that Mary joined us. And when she talks about how, I know you heard how fearful she was as she was getting ready to come to retreat, and then how God just opened her up and transformed her. And I kind of put together a few words that I observed that I would describe Mary as before she came up to retreat. And I would have these phone calls with her where she'd ask me questions and say, okay. And she was just fearful would be the word. But I would have described Mary before the retreat as closed, fearful, ashamed, angry, and agitated. And now, if you could be in the studio with me now, looking at the Mary I'm looking at and that I have watched just transform in this last year, I look at a woman who is now uplifted. She's bubbly. She's on fire. She's released. She's insightful. She's positive, and she's open, counter to the closed before. She is open, and she has such a gift of communication. It has been a true delight to watch Mary through this process. So, and I'm, again, so grateful that you're willing to come on the air with us. Well, I have another special, special guest, and you will recognize her from last year's show. Rachel was with us last year. She is one of our leaders. And she has been at all four shows that we've done. She's been at all four retreats and the last two shows. And Rachel is such an important key part of our leadership team because of what she brings to the team and just her gifts and her passion. She's also an employee at Skyline. So we love that connection to have her on our team. But Rachel is such an important member of our leadership team because of her background and what she brings to the retreat and how she can connect with women. I know some of you out there are listening thinking, well, they just don't know my story and they don't know what I've experienced. But Rachel, along with our other leaders put together, have had extensive experiences that we can all relate to. And so I've asked Rachel to share a bit of her background with you so that you can hear how God has worked in her life. So Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dana.
And if you would share with us, we'd be so grateful.
Let me go ahead and start with my background. I had an abortion at 16, but I will backtrack where I grew up in an alcoholic family. My dad was an alcoholic, and I look back, and I think I was just reflecting back. I think I was looking for like a gentle touch, and so of course, when I was 16, I had my first boyfriend, and I ended up pregnant at the age of 16. That was a very difficult time going through that, and I think I just became numb, and just kind of went through the motions. I then became an alcoholic myself. I was drinking in high school. I did drugs. I was raped at 19. And there was just a lot of damage. I, again, was numb, so there was promiscuity. I think I just wanted to feel something, just to feel. That led to dysfunctional relationships, one after another after another. I couldn't really relate in an intimate way. Feeling guilty and just not knowing how to relate in intimacy. I did get married after meeting someone after 6 weeks, just so I could have the house and the white picket fence and see if there was someone that would love me. If he loved me enough to say, let's get married, I just felt like, oh, okay, someone loves me for the first time. We divorced 6 years later. And I just, again, I feel like I was just numb throughout all of those years. I was 38 years old when I found out that there's men that don't hit women. So if you look at that, the first 38 years of my life, I just felt every single man was violent, physically and verbally and emotionally. So I did have an abortion when I was 16, and I am not proud to say that I had multiple abortions, which is still hurts at this point, even through all of the years of prayer and going through this ministry. That's hard for me even now, but I just look back, and there was so much self-destruction. I had anorexia, and there was just so much damage of just being numb. I keep referring to the word numb. And it's God transformed me through this ministry because I had so many layers of just hurt and self-destruction and despair and just secrets that it was very difficult for me to open up. And being in this group setting was so different than being in a regular women's ministry, which is really good to have. And it's a Bible, you know, you have Bible studies with a book and a video. And it was good. I needed that at that time. But I needed something deeper, to go deeper within myself, because I had so many different layers and different facets. And I was so broken, just so broken. And I thank God, and I'm humbled that I'm part of the leadership team. When I was asked to be on the leadership team, I thought, oh my gosh, what do I have to bring to the table? Because I don't have my college degree, and I'm not well versed in the Bible. And then God revealed to me that it was my background, that I could relate to women. Mm-hmm. And that was the beauty of it, where I did go through all that, but God does restore, and he did restore me, and I'm just so grateful and humbled. Women who come to the retreat, they receive such a unconditional love and a sisterhood and a bond that is deeper than all understanding. There's a healing that happens, and seeing that transformation in these women is just, I'm in awe, and it's just such a great, great ministry that I wish every single woman who has had an abortion can go through this ministry. It's just amazing.
Yes, amazing. It is. And Rachel, your story is, I know that was brief, and I know you both have done really brief yes. backgrounds here on what you guys have experienced. And Rachel, mm-hmm. I think the most, it's all listening to both of you is difficult, and it's hard to hear the things that happened to you both. But I think the hardest part for me to hear is that you were 38 before you knew there were men that didn't hit women and didn't hurt them. And I just, that breaks my heart that you had to be that old before you knew there are men that don't do that. And that's, boy, that is just incredible. And I can say the same thing about Rachel that I said about Mary. When I first met Rachel, she was quiet and soft-spoken, and she was unsure. You were unsure of yourself, and you were struggling. We knew that. Timid. And yet now, again, if you could be in the studio and look at Rachel, you would see a strong, confident woman, but tender. You're tender, Rachel. You have that great combination. You're wise. You are encouraging, compassionate. You have an amazing gift of communication. Both of these women are just beautiful. So thank you for sharing that, and we will be right back.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is a show that we are doing to help women know that there is a place that they can go to receive, to learn about how to receive God's forgiveness and start the process of healing from having an abortion. Our two guests today have shared just their hearts on some of the significant things that happened through their abortion experiences. And so we just want to let people know that there is somewhere to go. And this is for women And it's only for women that have experienced abortion. One of the commitments we make to this weekend is that we tell the women that there will only be women there that have experienced abortion, and that includes all of the leadership team, the worship leader, the craft person, all of us. We've all experienced abortion, and we come together each year to support other women in finding what God has for them. Just yesterday, I was hearing on Fox News that Planned Parenthood is still working hard to promote abortion, and they're promoting, they're still trying to put bills on for abortions to be available for all 9 months of a pregnancy, that they should be free, there should be no restrictions. The more abortions, the better. And I couldn't believe I was just hearing that on national news just yesterday. The part that's so difficult about this is in Planned Parenthood, they don't tell you you're going to have mental grief from this, emotional fallout. You're going to experience devastation. Some of those things I read to you at the beginning of the show, that's just a portion of what a woman goes through, because you know deep down inside that it's not okay to choose abortion, and yet you've chosen it. So now what do? You're stuck with the results of your choice. And so we just want to make sure that women have a place that they can go and be able to find God's healing experience and to truly receive his forgiveness. And we need to stop listening to the pro-abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood that say, hey, it's a quick fix, no big deal. I hope you heard in both of our ladies tonight that they went numb. They had to you have to shut down emotionally to survive having made that choice. Would you say that's accurate? You have to shut down?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to go through with it. You wouldn't be able to do that. And for those of you that have never experienced an abortion, and thank you, Lord, that you haven't. Yes. But those of you that haven't experienced it, I know some of the puzzle for people is, how could someone do that? How do you make that choice? You make that choice because, one, you feel like you don't have options. You feel stuck and you go numb. You do not allow yourself to think about what it is you're doing. You can't, or you wouldn't go through it. So if you know someone who's experienced abortion and you're having trouble understanding them, that might give you some insight into how they're feeling about it and their struggle. And women tend to feel very shameful and guilty about it. And what makes it worse is we aren't allowed to talk about it in our society. Right. Our society shuts it down. It's a silent sin. Women don't bring it up. It's not something you just bring up at work. Like, oh, I had my teeth cleaned yesterday. Well, you don't come to work and say, hey, I had an abortion yesterday. We just don't. You go silent, and it's that burying it and trying to forget about it that causes us to go numb and just shuts us down. One of the things that we do try to accomplish at the retreat is to make sure women have a chance to grieve the loss,
yes.
To think about, not just think about it as a medical procedure, but in the safety of this environment with loving women around you that can relate to you, we allow the women to grieve and to, it's okay to be sad about your loss. But God doesn't want you to stay in that sadness. He wants us to be healed and be restored and to come out of that. What would you two say, either one of you say, to someone who's hesitating to go to the retreat or is hearing this? What would you say? Mary, what would you say to him?
Like I had discovered, I was afraid at first, but you have to go somewhere where there are people talking about those frozen emotions you have. there is no way you can get out of it yourself. You have to hear other people talking about their distress and how Jesus had pulled them out of their despair. It chips away at your shutdown to where you too can feel like you could discuss the thing that you've hidden for so many years, so many years. And it was by virtue of that, all the leadership talking about their stories that gave me permission. I mean, certainly foremost is to acknowledge what I had done and to totally own that. But the other part was I had never had the permission to grieve what had happened to my children.
Right, right.
And you certainly can't give yourself that permission without seeing it around you and the Holy Spirit surrounding you to give you that opportunity. Yes. That is the beginning of healing.
Right, exactly. Rachel?
And Dana, you touched on grieving. I cried in that whole weekend more than I had cried in like the last 3-5 years or so. Just having a safe place to be able to talk truth.
Yes.
And feeling that love of the sisterhood of people there, the women, and just feeling safe that I could open up and talk about my abortions. Even just mentioning that I had more than one, that was so difficult. Mm-hmm. And then when we went around the room, that I didn't feel so different. And we could grieve and we could pray and we could just love on one another. And I needed that. That was part of my healing, and the other women needed that as well. And it's just such a healing place and restoration. It's just it's just amazing.
Yeah. One of the things we know for those of us that have chosen multiple abortions is that once you've had one, you're like, well, I've already blown that. I'm already damaged. I've already made it's easier to go the next time because it's like, okay, well, I've already made that choice. So if you do it again, what's the big deal? And so we do have many women that come to the retreat that have had multiple abortions. And again, for those of you that are listening, that are hearing this and thinking, how could they do that? Again, it's that shutting down of your emotions, going numb. I would say my experience was I went into autopilot. I just went into like this, I just like step by step, move ahead, don't look right, don't look left, don't feel, don't think, just go. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to go there. So women that are out there that are thinking, gosh, I never have talked about this. I've never shared my story. When you keep that harbored and you keep that inside, that secret just eats away at you. And it comes out in unexpected times. Somebody just says something, or it's on the news, or your church has Sanctity of Life. I can't tell you how many Sundays I went through for years where you get there and it's Sanctity of Life Sunday again. And I just wanted to just crawl into the cracks in the floor or disappear. And just, I was praying, don't cry, don't breathe, don't look guilty, sit here. It is just, you have a physical reaction thinking they're going to know, they're going to see me, they're going to know my past. And yet God knew when he created us that we were going to choose this, and he still chose to create us. And there is forgiveness from God for you. There is healing. Yes. And we just would want so much for you to join us this year. It is April 6th through the 8th. It's coming up soon. If you would like more information, you can find it on Bob's website, or you can get a hold of Bob at Bob Siegel at his Gmail, Bob Siegel, SIEGEL. At gmail.com. Just shoot an email to Bob and he will get you in touch with us. And it is a whole weekend from Friday night dinner to Sunday lunch. And it's just a beautiful, amazing place. And we will share cost with you and so on. But I do want to say quickly, there are scholarships. So if cost is a problem, please let us know. No one should miss out on this opportunity because of money. So God bless you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Rachel, for such a wonderful sharing time with me and your vulnerability. Thank you, and Bob will be back with you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.